Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, lift up your name with a heart full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, my God. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, lift up your name with a heart full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, my God. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna,
Hosanna,
Hosanna,
Hosanna
in the highest.
in every distress. I call upon you, God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God that He is doing extraordinary things with our lives, and He's going to speedify. Father, we are thankful for your manifold blessings bestowed upon us. You are a good, good God. It matters not what challenges come our way. You are much more than enough. And so, Lord, oh God, we hide in you, our shelter, our keeper. You are the God who fights for us, our mighty warrior, our father and our fighter. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that your hand is resting upon us for good. You are breathing upon us, and we, oh God, are living souls, sanctified and made holy unto you. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that we are spiritually being energized, oh Father, and we just want to give you praise, oh God, that no matter what comes against us, your power within us is moving us through every situation. And we can boldly say, like the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Because Lord God Almighty, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And you've prepared a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. And we can boldly say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But thank you, Lord, O God, that we are in your house. We are flourishing, O God, in your house. We are growing. We are prospering. Our way is established. Your glory is revealed in us and through us. And this day you will unveil the truth of your word to us and cause us, O God, even now, to be even greater as you establish your word in us and through us. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, we say it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are studying through the book of Proverbs, and we're presently in the 16th chapter of this book, the book of Proverbs. And as we explore the word of the Lord here, I believe that we'll continue to grow in the fullness of what God has established already. For us. We stopped in the sixth verse where we talked about the power of mercy and truth. It says, by mercy and truth are iniquities purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Now, that last part is very important because when we think about by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We only think about the fear of the Lord and departing from evil in the sense of departing from doing what is wrong. You know, we depart from being drunken. We depart from being a glutton. We depart from being adulterers and fornicators. We depart from drunkenness. We depart from lying and gossiping and, you know, and murder and stealing and all of that. Yes, it means all of that. But the part that many times we do not consider is that the fact that the reverence and the honor of God causes us to depart from everything that is evil. Everything that is evil includes sickness and poverty and whatever else. If it is not that which honors God, those who have an honor and reverence for God, a fear of God, depart from it. They say, No, that does not honor God. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us in the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be hallowed. Amen? If it is not hallowing God, if it's not glorifying God, I don't want anything to do with it. Hallelujah. So let's think about departing from evil, not just from that particular aspect of departing from that which is sin in that sense, but anything that sin brought about. We're departing from everything that sin brought about. Sin brought about death. We want to depart from that. We want to depart from slavery to anything that does not glorify God. Amen? Now, the Word of God says, when a man's ways please the Lord. How is that? When a man's way please the Lord. The Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when a man's way pleases the Lord, it is a life of faith. Hallelujah. It means that we live in the life of faith. Now, the life of faith means that you live in life in spite of the challenges of life. If you're going to have victory, you're going to have challenges. You know, I have in my hand this evening the very first book that I wrote called Victory, Keys to a Consistently Victorious Life. Well, what displeases God? A life that is not founded in faith. A double-minded man should not expect to receive anything from God. So a double-minded man is not going to please God. And therefore, God cannot make his enemies to be at peace with him because he's double-minded. When we do not accept the forgiveness of God, we're operating in pride. And pride is the foundational thing that manifests sin of any sort, pride. You can trace every sin back to pride. And you can trace pride to the aspect of not coming into agreement with God. Humility ultimately is coming into agreement with God concerning anything God says, because you know that God knows what is right from what is wrong. So you don't argue it. If God says this is wrong, I agree. If he says this is right, I agree. Don't come with your own mind and start arguing with God about whatever, because that becomes pride, because you think you know better than God. That's what pride is. When God says forgive and say, no, I can't do that, you're proud. And therefore, you do not please God. God hates that, and God will resist the proud. But when you submit yourself in humility, in agreement to the word of God, what God says, then you can resist the devil and say, buzz off. You have no place here. You don't have any authority over me. You cannot influence my thinking. Because not every thought that you think is yours. Let me say that again. Not every thought that you think is yours. Sometimes the thoughts that come through your mind are injected by the enemy. So because you thought it, don't embrace it. Say, no. That's not my thought. I'm not thinking that. I reject that. Satan, get away with your thoughts. Amen? That's not my thinking. I reject that thought. When you begin to do that, you are walking a walk that pleases God. What is the thought of the enemy? Jesus has just come through the baptism. God has just spoken and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And the devil says, if you be the son of God, turn these stones and make them bread. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ did that, you will think, oh, wow, that was faith. Amazing. He just turned stone into bread. Wow, amazing. Hey! No. That action would have been generated from an act of unbelief. He may have gotten that done right, and God would have honored it, but it would have been based on him trying to prove to the devil what God already said he was. So it's not every time that we pray the prayer of faith in trying to bring to pass something because we had a thought and the enemy challenged us. No, I don't have anything to prove to you, devil. No, I'm not going to do that. I live by what the Word of God says. God said, I am his son, and I don't have to prove it. I am what he says I am. Let me say that again. I am what he says I am. Let me say the third time. I am what God says I am. I don't have to prove it to you. God says I'm his righteousness. I am his righteousness. And he says he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's when you've resisted the devil and the devil comes into agreement and says, forget you. Yeah. I give up. You already know who you are. You're walking in the integrity of who you are. Let me go find some other fool to mess with. Now, that does not mean he's not going to try next time. The Bible says the devil left Jesus for a short while. He always came back. But Jesus was steadfast. He was not wavering on what God said about him. I'm sure the devil came by and when Jesus was whipping all of those money changers and says, hey, you've been violent, Jesus. why are you whipping people and flogging them and getting them out of the temple, overturning? You're fighting. What do you think Jesus said? He said, this is my Father's house. And it's not going to be made a den of thieves. And therefore, every thief has to be flogged out of this place. I'm not just going to pray them out, I'm going to flog them out. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you didn't just cast them out, you know, and just prayed and say, hey, in the name, well, how would they have prayed? In the name of Jesus? Get out of here. No, he flogged them out. It didn't sound or look like what he should do. But he knew what the Father wanted him to do at that particular moment. He knew exactly what to do. And was the Father pleased? Absolutely. How was the Father pleased? Because now, having flogged them out, he showed what the house of God was supposed to look like. The Bible says he began healing everyone. He said, healing the people. See, this is what the house of God is supposed to be like. People getting healed, not people getting scammed. This is what it's supposed to look like. Restoration, transformation, deliverance, redemption, God's glory and God's goodness being revealed. My prayer is that we will be that kind of a people, that we'll be that kind of a church, that God's power will flow in us and with us at all times, and that we'll know the goodness of God in this day and in this time. When I see situations where doctors have given up on people and said, just go home and die. You know, your case is beyond repair. And we begin to proclaim the word of God. And all of a sudden, the doctor has said, we can't treat you. Your case is finished. You're done. You say, wow, we don't know what's going on. We have no idea what's going on. You're getting better. And we're not sending you home to die anymore. You're going home because we are confident something has changed. That is a work of transformation. God is making even that enemy that wanted to take your life to be at peace with you and say, I can't mess with you. I can't mess with you. Say, Pastor, I thought he was just talking about physical enemies. You know, John Doe is your enemy. And yes, he's talking about that, but he's talking about every enemy. Is cancer an enemy? Okay, every enemy is going to be at peace with you. I'm not going to die. You're not going to get my limbs. I remember one of the sons in this house, they already written him off for dead. Family already decided you're dead meat. They're already thinking about what they're going to get. And here comes the pastor and says, you're not going to die. And family's there and say, nobody's taking anything from you. Even if they try to take your limb off of you, you are still a person in spite of it. But that is not even going to happen. The guy flatlined 7 times in one day. They've written him off. You're finished. You're done. In fact, the day I went to see him at his home, I had not visited him for a while, but the Lord says, go see him today. And that was the day they came to take him out from his house to the hospital. And as I was coming out, and they were putting me inside the ambulance, the devil says, that's the last time you're going to see him. So I went to the hospital the next day. I went there for about 2 months or 3 months straight, every day. Even on Sunday morning, after I finished praying here, I went to the hospital, saw him, then went home, got changed, and came to the service. Every day I went. Until he thought that it was my duty to come see him every day. I said, oh, okay, so you think I should be coming here? I'm not coming anymore. I'm not coming every day anymore. I've proven to the devil, you don't take my son. You're not taking anybody here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you see him coming in here, walking. He told me the other day, I just bought a new car. They told him he was dead. Devil's a liar. You don't come here to die. You come here to continue to live. Live the fullness of life. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Oh, that's an amazing verse. Better is a little with righteousness. People just want to get. You know, at this time of the year when people get their receipts for donations for the year, that's when I see how people give. And I am shocked. I am floored by how many people don't give. It's amazing to me. I say, no. That That is not true. Am I looking at this? Right? This person did all year long. Mr. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, God is good. You didn't even give 500 to the Lord? You didn't give 1,000 to the Lord? You are in, even little children are giving more than you, and you are working, and God is blessing you? But the word of God says, better is little with righteousness. What are you doing with, you know, with whatever it is that you're doing? And then I got this problem. Some people don't need the devil to bring destruction. They just do it to themselves because they don't have faith in God. When you have faith in God, you honor God. It's simple. It is simple. I cannot. I know how much income I get, but I cannot give an offering to the Lord less than $100. It's not going to happen. Not today, not tomorrow. I cannot. Why? Because I know that He is provider. I know. It has nothing to do with my income. I believe God for seed to sow. And I have a deal with God. You cannot have me give less than $100. Once upon a time, it was $20. Then it was $50. Then I say, hey, if we can do $50, and that means if we had a whole month of services every day, that means I give at least $100 every service. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, that is not to be the same for everybody. No, not at all. But it means that you've come to a place where you say, a little with righteousness is better than great revenues without right. There's one who keeps more than he should, and it tends to poverty. That's what the Word of God says. And we're going to find that as we're going through the book of Proverbs. Every one of us needs to grow. We need to just grow. Just grow, just grow, just grow, just grow, just grow. And say, God, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. You are my source. You are my provider. I don't know how many times CRA has come after Mama and I. How is it that you are giving that kind of money? Where did you get that money from? We see your income and we see your giving. Nobody gives 30, 40, 50% of their income. I said, none of your business. It's none of your business. You know, did I lack because of that? Absolutely not. Look at me. I'm trying to lose weight. Well, God knows how to provide for you. Amen? He knows how. Now, I didn't get there by accident. I got there by trusting God, step by step. I'm looking for that day and trusting God. God, bring me to that place where it doesn't matter what service it is. You cannot have less than $1,000. I don't care where I am, what church I am at. Amen? Doesn't matter. Except for this last time that I traveled, you know, generally, even while I am gone, I'm still sowing right here. This time I didn't do it. You know, but I'm catching up to cover for the time. You know, because God has more on his mind for me than I can ever imagine. So we trust God. It says, better is a little with righteousness. Better is little with righteousness. So don't steal from somebody else, cheat somebody else. Don't withhold more than you should. If all you have left is this little amount, expect God to multiply and turn that little to much. Just trust him. None of us are living here with anything. Nobody. You know, going down with a hearse is taking their bank account with them. I don't care. Even if they took all of your money and buried it with you, somebody's going to come and dig all, dig it all up. So invest in that which is most important, the kingdom of God. Invest in souls. Invest in lives. Like the word of God says, a man's life does not consist on all that he has acquired and put together. It's the Lord. And when you have revenues, income that is blessed of God, you have revenues with right, not without right. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues. You have all of this without right. Not just right with man, but right with God. As you can boldly say, you know, there's a passage of scripture that's intrigued me greatly. It's the story of Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah? One day it dawned on me that Hezekiah was sick. While he was king, and while he was doing all the good things he was doing, he was sick. Sick unto death. Hezekiah did not start or stop based on the fact that he was blessed. But in spite of it, he is looking at the things of the kingdom and saying, something is wrong here. This has to be corrected. And he's walking down the streets and he's looking at all these pyramids of stuff that's piled up. He said, where did all this come? He says, since you got things put in order, the people have been so greatly blessed. And this is the excess. Huh? This is the excess. It was during that time that Sennacherib came after him. And he's sick. And Sennacherib is saying, that guy that cannot help himself, that guy is cursed, he's dying. And you believe in his lies? And then Azariah comes to him and tells him, you're going to die, man. Get your house together. The guy turns to the wall and says, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. God, have you forgotten that things were bad and I came and put everything in order? And God tells Azariah, go back and tell him he's going to live. And the man says to Azariah, yeah, you came here a few minutes ago, told me I'm going to die. You come back and telling me I'm now going to live. We're going to cancel whatever it is that you said. How are we going to do that? We're going to back up time. So that it is like the first thing I'm hearing from you is not you're going to die, but you're going to live. So time was backed up. He had right. He had right. Do you have the right? Oh, well, Jesus is giving me the right. He's giving me authority. Well, he also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Oh, well, that's going to be salvation by works. Really? No, that's salvation by faith. Salvation because you believe God. All of God. Everything God said. And you trust in him to take care of your spirit, your soul, your body, your finances, your family, everything that you are about. And Paul says, I've learned how to be content, whether I have little or much. Doesn't matter. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that's where that passage comes from. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether I have little, I have much, it doesn't matter. I'm not about little or much. I've learned to find contentment in the fact that God is God. And my God is able to meet all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The same God who can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed the multitude can take 1 little flask or cruse of oil and start an oil business and get a widow's children away from being put into slavery and have an abundance clear of all her debt. The same God who can turn a flask of oil and flour and feed a family that thought they were going to just eat the last meal and die, that same God is still in heaven. And he reigns over the affairs in heaven and the affairs in the earth. A little in my hands with right is better than having great revenues that cannot solve any problem. You know, you can have billions of dollars in your account and not be able to heal yourself. The doctors will eat all of your money and you still die. And then there's a poor guy who doesn't have all that money, doesn't know where to go other than to God. And he cries out and says, mercy, mercy, Father, mercy. And he gets healed. And you've spent all of your money. And he gets well and is walking down the street and you are dead with all of your money. I'd rather have Jesus, you know, the song goes, than silver or gold. That's an amazing song. If you can find that song for me, I'd rather have Jesus. If you can find it, I'd like to play it. I know there's, what do you call it, copyright stuff. So when we finish with YouTube, we'll play it for the Zoom people. Amen, if you can find it. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. That's a powerful song. It says, a man's heart deviseth his way. It's a very powerful verse. A man's heart deviseth his way. Man makes plans. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He says, but the Lord directed his steps. If God does not direct your step, when you've had all those plans, you'll find yourself in a mess. Now, it's important to plan. It's important to plan. Have plans. But have plans with God at the center of it all. So acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. And here the word of God says, the Lord directed his steps. He will direct your steps. How does he direct your steps? By showing you the path. Because nobody really, you know, except you want to commit suicide, drives off the path, drives off the road. I say, well, we're trying to find a shortcut. Well, you know, some shortcuts get you in trouble. I've had, you know, GPS. I rely on GPS, but not all the time. Because GPS can take you the long route. And sometimes GPS can take you to a dead end. Those things can act crazy. So, can drive you off the cliff. Yeah, those things. So while you're relying on the GPS, rely more on the GPS of the Lord. You know, sometimes I'm driving, GPS is taking me particular direction, and something inside me says, this thing is taking you the long way. I say, really? He said, yes. Turn right here. I'll turn right. And lo and behold, GPS was trying to take me an extra 5 kilometers. And because I turned right, it recalibrates, and I get to where I'm going. I say, hello. Or GPS wants to take you down a toll road. And it's done that to me. Now start paying for stuff that I don't need to pay for. So I rely, while I'm following GPS, I keep my ears open, hear the direction of the Lord. God will direct your steps. Amen? Praise God. This next verse. Is a very important one. It says a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. I want you to hear what that verse is saying. It is saying that the right sentence, the right judgment, the right verdict is in the lips of the king. So when you are presenting yourself before a king that wants to put a verdict before you, you must draw on that statement and say, God, the right sentence, which is a sentence of the favor of God, of the mercy of God, is what I am desiring from the lips of that king in this matter. That the verdict, the sentence, that comes from your throne is what I'm going to hear from this person. Because sometimes the devil can come in there and put his verdict in the lips of that king, and they start speaking nonsense. He says, his mouth transgresseth not in judgment. So I'm going to get the right judgment, the true judgment, the judgment that is born from the throne room of God. Because that which is divine is from God. And what I'm expecting is mercy. What I'm expecting is the favor of God, the goodness of God. That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting God to intervene in my matter and clear me and help me and protect me. Because certain verdicts shut you off from God's divine purpose and destiny for your life. Certain judgments can become a black spot in your life that restrain and restrict your movement. We don't want that. Amen? We don't want that. Now, we can put ourselves in a bind by the actions that we take. And give you an example from the scriptures. Paul is a great man of God. God, at the very early stages of his life, gave a prophetic word that he was going to speak to kings, to the emperor. He was going to take him to Rome. That was God. God, just like God used Paul to go to different parts of the world, God was going to honor that statement. But Paul put himself in a bind when he appealed to Caesar. And now, the one that was looking at his case said, I could have let you go, but you've appealed to Caesar. So I guess you're going to have to go to Caesar. And that got Paul into the shipwrecks and whatever, all the mess that happened. It was all unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. God already said he was going to get to Rome. And now he's going to go through all of those troubles because of his mouth. We need to believe God to open our mouths righteously, to say the right thing, and not put ourselves in a twisted knot, you know, because of what we say, how we think we're defending ourselves, you know, well, based on the Constitution. Well, based on the Constitution, you're going to have to go through this way. Or you can trust me. You know, here's Paul who's preaching, no circumcision, no circumcision, no circumcision. And before you know it, he's in a tight spot and he says, circumcise the guys. Hello, Paul. Uh, You know what it teaches me? It teaches me that no matter what you think you know, you got to chill out. Because if you don't chill out, you're going to find yourself in a bind. All of these things are written in scriptures for us to know what to do and how to deal. And when we look at that particular verse, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. In essence, the king is going to say the right thing. His mouth will not transgress in judgment. That's a blanket statement. But we also know that there are Idi Amins in this world. There are Hitlers. Yeah? They are crooked kings. Basically, what God is saying to us is, don't just leave things, you know, just like that. You got to address it. Don't assume nothing. Because the God of this world is influencing people. Now you, with your mouth, begin to prophesy and declare that the sentence that you get is based on what God said. Or else there is a real devil that is going to attack you and mess you up. I have to apply this principle on some stuff Mom and I are going through. You know, and just say, God, your divine sentence. My son Colin. I'll deal with that later. We've got to apply the principles of God's word. I apologize. I didn't turn my phone on silent. We've got to apply the principles of God's word. And not take anything for granted. Amen? Apply it. So I'm going to get proper judgment, justice, fairness, equity, mercy. Now, if you know there are people that are guilty that get away. Well, were you guilty? And did you deserve the judgment of God, the wrath of God? Well, because of Jesus, mercy was applied. Yeah? Well, we can trust God for that mercy. Amen? So that God clears us. I tell you, I think I've said this before, but it's worth saying again. I could have gotten myself into a big, big mess many years ago in my youthful days. I was in a teacher training college. And it was the final exams. I wasn't taking that exam, but I was in our dorm when a paper from the exam hall came out. I think I might have said this story before. This paper came out. And I think it was the science or math or something like that. And those that were in the dome took the paper and decided answering the questions. And they were going to sneak the answers back into the hall. And the students in the hall were going to take those answers and, of course, do as if it was their answers. And lo and behold, they got caught. And everybody in the dorm was now implicated. Now, I saw the paper come in. I saw them doing their thing. And I walked away. Now, everyone got summoned to the principal's office. They asked this one, were you there? Blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Blacklisted. They were not going to graduate. I came in there. The principal looks at me and says, you get out of here. I know you will not, you will not be part of this. Just go. So I walked away and I said to myself, oh my Lord God Almighty, I just escaped. I would have been found guilty. Was I in that dorm? Yes, I was. Could I have been blacklisted? Well, I graduated, but I never did anything with my teaching certificate or anything like that. So ultimately, it wouldn't have affected me, but I would have had a bad mark on my name. Just messed up. Because I was simply in that particular situation. But God delivered me. God delivered me. I cannot tell how many times God has delivered me from a situation that could have created a mess. But the mercy of God and the grace of God is sufficient. I pray that we all experience that grace, that mercy that God so graciously gives, and that we trust Him to help us at all times. Amen? And let me go to verse 11 and we'll close up in verse 11 this time. It says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. The just weight and balance. It's the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. Wow. We do know that there are scammers out there. When you go to different parts of the world, you will find people selling stuff in measures and the cup is this tall and everything, but the depth has been fixed. And so 1 pound is not necessarily 1 pound because the cup has been weighted or the space of volume has been tweaked somehow. The coin has been weighted so that it's always falling as heads and never tails. Everything is not the way it's supposed to be. We know that it's true. So what is the word of God saying? God's word is saying a just weight and balance are the Lord's. He's saying, don't just take everything at face value. Take everything at face value. You want to go buy something? let God determine what the price point is. Hello? Because there is a crooked sales guy that's going to tell you, I'm doing you a very good deal. You're my friend, my brother. You're my brother. I'm giving you the best deal. It's not true. The best deal, God knows. That's why when we bought our first house, we asked God, what do you want to pay for this? And God told us what he wanted to pay for it. When we came to buy this building, we asked God, what do you want to pay for it? And he told us his price, what he wanted to pay for it. God has his price point. Hello? Is somebody listening? Or am I talking to myself? God knows what he wants to pay for it. It doesn't matter what the working market price is. God knows what he wants to pay for it. Ask God. All the weights of the bag are his work. He knows what he wants to pay for it. You want to buy a car? Want to buy a house? Want to buy groceries? He knows what he wants to pay for it. And what he wants to pay for it is the price that he has decided that he wants to pay for it through you. And part of that is based on what kind of partnership you have with him already. We don't all pay the same price. I've seen Mama go to buy something. There are other people with us. They're buying stuff. They're paying $150. They're paying $300. They're paying $500 for stuff. And here comes Mama, and he's paying $1.20 for something that should be costing $500. How did you get that price? Same thing here. I don't pay what other people pay. No. God has a price that he has on his mind for me. I remember I was at a conference, and there is this guy that has a shoe, a stingray shoe. I saw him with the stingray shoe. I said, wow, that's amazing. You got a stingray. He said, well, yes. I paid, I don't know, $2,000 or $3,000 for this shoe. I said, wow. I have one like that. So you do? I said, yeah, I love that shoe. Say, yeah, this is a really nice shoe. Yeah. I said, yeah. I didn't tell him how much I paid for mine. Because I don't think I paid $50 for mine. He's paid thousands and I'm paying $50. We don't pay the same thing. The Word of God says, God rebukes the devourer for your sake. God knows the just weight, the just balance are the Lord's. He knows what that thing is really worth, the value of it. It could be something else for somebody else, but for you, he has a just weight just for you. Please hear what I'm saying. He knows exactly what to do for your case. Yeah. He knows. I don't know how many times I've gone into his store and they say, we're having a special sale right now for this particular product. And that's the product I came to get. And they slash the price. I finish paying. And they say the sale is now over. Huh? I thought this sale was going to go on for a while. No, the sale was specifically, is that the right word? Yes, I said it right. My tongue was going all kinds of. It was just perfectly cut down just for me. Say, that's not fair. Well, fair is not fair. But God, you got to ride with the Father. And in his book, he says, that's just. That's just. Just for you. Just for you. Just for you. I need to connect with that just for you. Where God is working things. Because just like they're trying to cheat you, God says, you don't cheat him. He's already invested in my kingdom, and I'm added to him. Amen? I'm doing for him. Now, I say that to say this. When God is speaking for his son or his daughter, and doing things for his son or his daughter, the worst thing you can do is start complaining about it. Where did he get that from? Hush him out. Just say, thank you, Father, that you've blessed my brother, you've blessed my sister, me too. Is that what Mama taught us? Me too, me too. You complaining about somebody getting blessed with anything is you cutting yourself away from that blessing. The blessing that you do not celebrate is the blessing that will not come your way. Amen? I don't care. You know, I remember one of the daughters in this house, she knows how to do me too, me too. Anytime somebody gets a new vehicle and we're thanking God for that vehicle, here comes me too. Me too, me too. So one day I said, this me too, every time, me too. He said, Papa, me too, me too. So she got a car, brand new. And it wasn't even 6 months. She had another one. What is going on here? He said, me too. So we celebrated. Praise the Lord. Well, if I want to get a new one, I have to celebrate with the one that got a new one. Not ask any questions. Just say, thank you, Lord. So, one day I went to visit them. I said to them, I said, wow, I see a new house. He said, Papa, you see a new house? I said, yeah, you guys are getting a new house. And sure enough, the new house came. So they were testifying and said, Papa, remember that time you said you saw a new house and we're going to get a new house, we're moving into a new house? I said, yes. He said, that was the furthest thing from reality based on our circumstance. There is no way we're going to get a new house. It was impossible. And I'm telling them, not only are you going to get a new house, the house that you are in now, you're going to keep that house while you're getting a new house. We were thinking, this Papa, he started again. Yeah, started again. What is he talking about? He said, but here we are. We still have the old house, and we have a brand new house. This is the doing of the Lord. I said, what were you guys thinking? You thought I was just... He said, we now believe. Well, if God said it, believe it. The word of God says, believe in the Lord, so shall you be what? Established. But believe in his prophet, so shall you prosper. God said it, take a hold of it. That's part of the just weight and balance at the Lord's. The just weight, the weight of the glory of God. God put in balance in your life. Just walk in it. You say, God, you are God and I'm not. And whatever it is that you're saying, I receive. Your representative just told me that this is what is going to happen. So, if that's what is being proclaimed, then let it be confirmed. The prophet says it, say, Father, let the word from your prophet not fall to the ground. Let it be unto me according to thy word. Amen? It's a prophetic word. Just receive it. That's all you're called to do. Paul says, you know, based on the prophetic word that you've received from me, fight a good fight. Take that word and fight with it. And say, this is what I heard, and that's what I'm getting. And you're not going to take this from me. Your barren man of God says, you're pregnant. You're going to have children. Man of God, everything that is supposed to make me have a child has been taken out. How is this going to happen? If the man of God said it, I heard the word. This is what I received. If that is not your son that brought that word to me, I don't know about that. All I know is that that man says he's your son, and I've seen him operate by your spirit, and this is what he said is going to happen for me. So if he's not your son, then you shouldn't have allowed him to say it. Get rid of him or fulfill what he said. This is what I heard. Bring it to pass. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is not my problem. All I want is the manifestation. If you've got a problem with him, deal with him. Right now, I don't have any problem. All I want is my miracle. That's how people that have not had wombs have carried children. God put some... That has not happened in my ministry, but I've heard. Put a sack inside the woman's womb without a real womb in there. Put something in there and grew a whole baby inside that child, that woman. And gave birth to a full-grown child. How did that happen? I can't explain it. No man is going to explain it. But this is true. God is God. My sister was born next to me. I must have told her testimony. Fell, broke her thigh bone and did not heal. Chip after chip was coming out of that leg. It was so bad, the other leg got messed up. She was paralyzed for years. And I heard from God. I was in Oakland, California, at a crusade with Papa when I heard God speak to me. He said, your sister is going to be healed in August. I was so excited. I sent a letter to my sister. I said, God says you're going to be healed in August. August came and went. No healing. Nothing. I said, God, I know I heard from you. You told me my sister was going to be healed in August. I sent word to her to tell her she's going to be healed in August. August has come and gone, and she's still not healed. I sent a letter to my sister. I told her, you don't have faith. How dare you not get healed? Jeez. How dare you not get healed in August? God said you're going to be healed in August and you are still there crippled. How dare you? He said, Pastor, you didn't do that. I'm telling you what I did. Oh, Lord, have mercy. A year went, 2 years, 3 years. I think it was the fourth year. At this time, I'd even helped to purchase a wheelchair for her. And get wheeled to church. And they were having a special meeting at the church. She came up for prayers. Man of God prayed for everybody. She's wheeling herself back. And the man of God says, come back here. He says, get up and walk. She got up. And she started walking. The thigh bone was not replaced by God. There was no bone there. It's all come out, little chips. Pus oozing out. She starts walking. I was having a meeting in Saskatchewan. In Echo Lake. It was actually a service where Minister Colette, we know Colette, she got saved at that meeting. And I got a phone call from Mama. She said, just got a letter from your dad. I said, what did the letter say? It said, your sister is healed and she's walking. I said, did he say anything about when this happened? He said, she got healed in March at a revival meeting. I said, March? How? I heard God say August. And she's getting healed in March. So I wrote a letter to my sister. I said, please tell me how your miracle started. What happened? And she said, she started her letter. It was in the month of August. I was laying down in the bed, and I heard a voice say to me, get up. So I stretched and I grabbed a hold of the window bars, because in Nigeria you have protective bars, you know, so that if somebody's trying to break in, they have to, you know, cut through the bars to come in, right? So she grabbed on the bars and she pulled herself up. He says, that's when my miracle started, but I could not walk. But then when I went to this meeting in March, so that's August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. 8 months. 8 months. And she got her miracle completed. But the amazing thing about it was that she never had that thigh bone. Somehow, how do you walk without a thigh bone? Well, you cannot explain it. And when God gets engaged with your life to do what God does, don't think you can explain it. You can't explain it. You know, sometimes he lets you, oh yeah, this is what God did and this is how, and blah, 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 and it all makes sense. But there is a time when God gets engaged with you that it doesn't make any sense. Like it doesn't make any sense for a woman that is a virgin, that's never known a man, to be pregnant. It does not make any sense. It does not make any sense for you to walk on water. It does not make any sense for 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 hungry men. It does not make any sense for you to be fishing in the waters all day, all night, and catching nothing. And he says, let's launch out into the deep. It does not make any sense. So if you're waiting for God to make sense to you, you don't understand it. Just wait and balance at the Lord. You don't understand it. But you have to proclaim that. I am not going to be cheated. That's what that verse is all about. I am not going to be scammed. In a world and a time when people are getting scammed, day in, day out, you can trust anything you see. There's always somebody out there to scam you. And when they start their scamming, they are so believable. You can see a video now and say, well, it is really this person that's talking. They have celebrities saying things out of their mouths. You're looking at the mouth, and there's a celebrity who's saying it. The voice sounds the same. You close your eyes and you look away. Yeah, that sounds like him, but it's not him. AI. You remember AI? That city after Jericho. Getting scammed because you believe in yourself. Too many lies in the world. So this verse is telling me, hey, don't get scammed. Always proclaim, I will not be cheated. I will not be scammed. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Lord, oh God, I experience only that which is your work. I only experience that weight and balance that is true. I will not be scammed. It will be exposed. I will not be deceived. I tell you what, if you and I don't go by the principles of the Word of God, day in, day out, you're going to be scammed. Day in, day out, the sentence that's going to come from the mouth of the king is going to be devilish, and it's going to cause you pain. Tonight, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that we are establishing this very moment the very fervent wall of protection, the firewall of the presence of God, the Word of God that declares that we are only going to have fairness and justice that is going to favor us. There will be no lie, no scamming that will operate in our lives, in our realm, in anything that concerns us. Only truth. We establish this truth and we declare that it goes on and on and on at all times. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we decree it so. And all of God's people together in agreement say yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, we'll stop there in that verse and we'll continue from there in the next time. Friday is our time of prayer together. I know God is going to be with us as we seek the face of the Father together in faith. And of course, Sunday, we are going to celebrate the goodness of God together as we receive the word of life. I say to you, justice. Justice based on your connection with the Father. Amen? That the devil will not steal your money, steal your resources, steal your joy, steal your peace, steal favor from you. You will receive grace in abundance. You'll receive peace that passes all understanding. You'll receive the goodness of God. Hallelujah. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Everything that the devil has stolen from you, you'll receive restoration by the authority of the Word of God. I declare now, in the mighty name of Jesus, restoration of lost resources. Everything restored back to you in Jesus' mighty name. Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. Even when you had the right to take it, today we are denying you that right because mercy comes to bear on sons and daughters of the Most High God right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we take back everything that you've stolen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. We will hear your testimonies in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. God is good. Well, bless you all. And did you find that I'd rather have Jesus? You did? Okay, so we're going to say goodbye to those of you on YouTube and Facebook. And we're going to listen to this song together. And at this time, let us honor God with our giving. May God continue to breathe peace and prosperity together.